We're looking for the lost. That's what we're trying to find. And we've kind of been looking at this idea of finding the lost, and we've been doing maybe something that's a little bit strange. We have this new name for our church, and to go with the new name for the church, a new logo, and while you look at the picture and you think, wow, that might look cool, but there was a story that went with the logo. And so I've pulled the logo apart, and we've been going through the various parts, and we started at the beginning with the green swoosh that goes right over top of the word park with a simple question. Can you see the field? Can you see people for who they are? Not people that we need to condemn, but people that are harassed and helpless and looking for a shepherd. Can you see people? And then to this field, we added our message. And last week, I did the sermon. By the way, they're not Christmas trees. Okay? Last week, we did the sermon, Life Between the Trees. And as you look over here to the left, I left a display up here in a smaller version. And if you would like to understand what this whole display means, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go around. If you weren't here last week and you didn't get to see this, you can walk around after church and find somebody. Just say, were you here last week? And when you find somebody that says yes, walk them up here and say, will you please explain this to me? I'm guaranteeing you, anybody that was here last week can explain this picture. And what we did last week is we discussed what it means to live our life between the trees, making the decisions that we make between our own way of doing life, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, versus Jesus' way of doing life and choosing the cross. So that's the first two parts, but the logo's not complete yet. And this week, I'm going to stretch you a little bit because I got something I want you to listen to. Now, let me just go ahead and preface this. I'm going to color it a little bit. Have no fear. This will not be the new worship style for the church, but I want you to listen to it. Also, I want to go ahead and let you know about half the people that are sitting here, you aren't going to like this. That's okay. I want you to just try and listen.
Shine, let it shine before. got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking for. Shine, let it shine before all men. Let's see good works in men. Let them glorify the Lord.
Honesty time. How many people totally hated that? It's okay. Raise your hand. Okay. That's okay. Huh? Ah. There's the question. Did you understand it? With the guitars going and the drums blaring and the getting too close to the microphone where you're kind of talking like this. Did you understand what they were saying? It's hard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was difficult. It was hard. But I'm guaranteeing you, as you listen to that, there's probably one word that you picked up on and you can tell me. What's the name of the song?
Shine.
Shine. How do you know? Because it's the only word you could probably understand the whole song. Shine. And that's where we're headed. That's the next piece of that logo. It's the little sun that's rising, not setting, that's rising up over the field with this idea of shine. Now, this isn't a new concept. If you were here just a few weeks ago, you remember we had the lady come down the middle of the aisle and she was looking for her coin, her little lost coin, and with her she had this. Remember this from a few weeks ago? She carried this and she was looking for the coin, and the idea was that she took the lamp and she shined it into the room trying to find her little lost coin. And as we put up with that part of the parable of the lost, and we talked about this woman and the lamp and the coin, I made a great analogy for you, a great connection to the fact that that part of the story is really about the church. That part of the story is really about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works through us, and what God expects us to do is to shine. Now, there was a verse that went along with that. By the way, that song's going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the afternoon. The beat just doesn't get away real easy. But there's a verse that went around with it. We talked about Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. I am keeping my promise. Remember when we did the rebirthday service and I kind of hurried through this verse? I told you I'd come back to it. We'd be back to this. And here we are. And this is what it says. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people that light a lamp put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is teaching this idea of what it is that they're supposed to do, what it is that's supposed to be done, what it is it means to begin this idea of shine. And I love the word that he starts out with. You. Yeah, that's a finger pointing at you, but I'm not off the hook because the screen's pointing back at me. There's two here. No matter where you're sitting, it's pointing at you today. I want you to notice he didn't say Peter. He didn't say Andrew. He didn't say James. He didn't say John. He didn't say it's the pastor's job. He didn't say it's the elder's job. He didn't say it's the deacon's job. He didn't say it's the worship leader's job. He didn't say it's the Sunday school teacher's job. He didn't give a title at all. He just said it is you. You are the light of the world. And by the way, did you catch the second word that goes right behind you? It is are. He didn't say you want to be. He didn't say you could be. He didn't say you should be. He didn't say that there's another option. He says you are. If you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, whether you like it or not, you are part of the light. And there's no way to get around it. I mean, you can try. You can try to hide it. You can try to cover it. You can try to dim it. You can try to unscrew some of the bulbs sometimes, but you do understand the moment you wrap that name Christian around your life, every action you take, everything that you do, everything that you say projects the light of Christ. That's a little bit scary, isn't it? Because Because you know what? Sometimes I would just like you to do the things that I say that are good and forget all the bad things. Because I have my moments. I do. I have my moments when I don't look very light-giving. I have my moments when I struggle, but we need to remember. Our job is to shine a light. And so to help us to understand this idea of shining the light, hey, Caleb, can you bring me down just a little bit? I think I'm a little bit loud. I may be a light bit loud. I don't know. But if you bring me down just a little bit, and Jesus gives us two great analogies about how we are supposed to shine openly. And the first one is we're supposed to shine like a city on a hill. Now, my family and I took a vacation to Atlanta this past summer, and I've told you guys a lot. I learned a lot. I got a lot of sermons out of that daggone trip. It was a great trip. But the one thing that we did is we went to this museum of natural history, and we had tickets to go in. And one of the things that we did there is we went to an IMAX theater. You know what an IMAX theater is? It's one of those big dome theaters that wraps all around you, and the seats are kind of laid back like this so that you can feel like you're part of it. And this was an IMAX picture that was shot from the International Space Station. And they show pictures of the Earth during the day, and it just looks dead. From that high up, you look down, you can't see people. You might see some puffs of smog here and there, but as they look at the terrain, it's different colors, and it's just dead. But at night, when the sun is on the other side and the space station is looking down on it, it looks alive, because you know what you see? You see the lights of the cities. And they showed the pictures of the cities, and you didn't even have to guess it. You could look down and you could see Dallas, Texas. You could look down and see New York City. From the International Space Station, you could see Hollywood. You could see Los Angeles. You could see all the cities, and even the outlines looked like the cities on the map. It was amazing. You know why you could see them? The lights. And you know the amazing thing? It isn't just one light, is it? It's not like somebody puts a light in the middle of New York City and you can see New York City from space. No, what happens is there are thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of lights that are all working together to make this one huge light that just projects the city's image up into space. That's the image that I kind of take into when I see Jesus say we're supposed to shine like a city on a hill. All of my little light, I have but one small portion of the light. But if I take my light and I combine it with your light, then we get a little brighter. And if you take your light and you combine it with her light, then it gets a little brighter. And as we combine all the little lights together, the lights begin to shine Jesus openly. If you've ever come back into Waynesboro on a nighttime and you're coming over the mountain and you're coming down to that place and you come right back where the old bike shop is and you're coming into the city and you look out and there you can see the big booming metropolis of Waynesboro. Not a very big city. But as you're coming down into Waynesboro, you can't miss it. Oh my gosh, the valley glows with the lights from the city. And I wonder, is the people on the outside looking at the church, do we glow? Do we shine? Do they look at us and they see something there, any sign of life? Or is it more like when you look at the earth from the space during the day and all they see is just terrain that has to be conquered, terrain that has to be gone over? See, Jesus tells us he wants us to shine openly. Then Jesus gives us another great picture. He wants us to shine like a light in darkness. Now, I'm not very good in the dark. I'm not. You know, my eyes take a while to digest. And so I appreciate things like night lights. You know, I do, because I don't like to stump my toe and I like to fall over things. And you never can tell where things are left in my house. And I like a little bit of light when I get up. But Jesus says we're supposed to start to shine like a light in darkness. So here's a riddle for you. How many lights does it take to get rid of darkness?
One.
Just one. Doesn't matter how big it is. Darkness cannot withstand any kind of light. Because the moment there's some point of light in darkness, then darkness no longer exists. And Jesus says he wants us to shine like lights and darkness. He tells us, don't cover it. Don't take a bowl and put it over top of me. I always thought this was an interesting idea, because if you take a bowl and you put it over a candle, you know what happens to the candle, right? It goes out because you starve it from oxygen. It's just the way it works. But Jesus wants you to know that he doesn't want you to put anything over the light. Don't put any kind of covering on it. He wants everybody to see our light just like it is. In fact, he goes into another place. He says, instead, I want you to raise it. I don't want you to cover it. I want you to raise it so that not only do people see it. Have you ever noticed in your house, where are your light fixtures? They don't mount the light fixtures in the floor unless they're trying an airplane to give you an exit path. Okay, but in a house, where are your light fixtures? Above you. Or when we get a lamp, we don't try to get a lamp that sits real low to the ground. We want our lamps up, because everybody knows that light shines down as a light brighter than light that shines upward. It's just science. And so Jesus says, I want you to raise it. In fact, I want you to put it on a stand. In other words, I want it to be out there all by itself. They're standing there looking at it so that everybody can see it. Just make it obvious. Don't make it confusing. Have you ever noticed when they're doing Hollywood premieres, or even around here when the car dealership reopened, what did they use? They had these big spotlights, the searchlights that go back and forth. They want people to see there's something here. We want you to be obvious that there's life here to be had. And by the way, make it attractive. Now, I read these characteristics of while Jesus is talking about the light of the church, and I just have an image, and it's kind of a twisted image, I'm sorry. And I'd like to explain it to you, but these guys did a better job than me.
No, Harry, no! Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
How about that? We should have renamed it the Bug Zapper Church. Actually, that's not a great analogy, because we're not trying to fry people. But I want you to see the premise of a bug zapper and see how it does kind of tie into our church and how our vision goes. Because a bug zapper, it works off the idea of permeated light. Now, I don't know why bugs like light so much, but bugs are just drawn to it. It doesn't even have to be a bug zapper. You know, when you clean in your house and you take down the light fixtures, you know what inevitably is in there if it's been a while since you've taken them down, right? These little bugs climb down into those little glass domes, and then they realize the sides are too slick to get out of, so they're stuck, and eventually the light cooks them, but then you find all the little bugs in there. Bugs are just drawn to light. They just are. People are no different. We're also drawn to light. Why do you think stores go through all the trouble of putting up great big illuminated signs? Because we are drawn to light. So if the church became a light in a very dark world, it would make sense that people would be drawn to it. As a matter of fact, bugs just can't resist the allure of that light. They just keep moving and moving and getting closer. I don't know whether it's curiosity, maybe it's warmth, maybe it does something to their, I don't know what it does, but people are the same way. Don't believe me? Next time you're riding down the road, and you know you're riding down there, and all of a sudden you see the blue lights or the red lights flashing on, what's your first instinct? Uh-oh. Slow down and look. Well, not the ones behind you, Nancy, on the side of the road. Okay, so what's your first instinct? Slow down and look, because there are lights flashing and we want to know what's going on. We are drawn to we can't resist it. So this analogy that Jesus makes about the church being the light, it makes sense. He wants us to allure people, to attract people. And then like the good old bug zapper, eventually the people that we attract, they actually become consumed by the light. Not fried, in a good way. They become consumed with the light that attracted them, which isn't us, because we are but a reflection of the true light. We are reflecting the light of Christ. And so as we show that light, and the people begin to get closer to us and closer to us, and they say, you know what? Their lives is as mixed up and messed up and confused as mine. It's just they've got something that I don't, because their life, even though it's mixed up and confused, it's not dark. And eventually they get so close that they become consumed by the very light that attracted them there. Doesn't this just make sense? This is what Jesus was after when he pointed at us. He says, you guys, you are the light of the world. Now note his words is the, not a. We're the only game in town, folks. Oh, there are some other places out there that try to pretend to be light. They pretend to do things that will attract people, but they're not attracting them for the people's goods. They're attracting them because they want them to go a different way. And those other things, unfortunately, are starting to shine brighter than the church. And so that is why all of the confusion is going on, because we have not allowed ourselves to be light. Because let's be honest, we're too busy staring at the other lights. We're too busy being allured by what the world is offering, and we're not serious about this idea. But Jesus says, you know what? You're it. By the way, he didn't make a plan B. You are it. The people that are touching your life, whether they're friends, family, co-workers, people that check out your groceries, people that do your hair, people that cut your grass, everybody that is touching your life, you realize you may be their only light source. Isn't that kind of scary? You may be the only source that they have to see Jesus. So let me give you some advice. Shine. Make them wonder what you've got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine. Let it shine before all men. Got to put in my clicker. Let them see good works, and then let them glorify the Lord. Now, you see the first word that's in both of those, right? Hopefully you do. It's in bright green. Shine. People that look at your life and they don't see you shining, then you're just another person walking by on the street. If you're not shining Jesus, then you're just another part of the darkness. And people really can't see anything. You see, it's up to us to do a little bit of shining. So what happens when I shine my light? Well, let me tell you what happens. Because there are some properties of light that you need to realize. Shining your light definitely removes darkness. John chapter 1 verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness cannot conquer your light, no matter how small it is. Here's another thing that happens when you shine your light. It provides guidance. It says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. When people see your light, then when their world is getting difficult, now they have somewhere that they can go and talk. I'm not telling you that you need to go out and start handing out tracts by the thousand and taking people and dragging them aside and saying, now you need to get your... That's the exact opposite of what I'm telling you to do. I'm asking you to take your normal, everyday, mundane life and let Jesus shine through that, so that when other people are living their ordinary, everyday, mundane life and they begin to struggle, they can look at you and say, you know what? You got something. Because you going through the same things I'm going through, and something's different. Tell me. I'm curious. The light is attracting me. This is the reason that we usually don't want to shine our light. Because it exposes issues. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 13 says, but everything is exposed by light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. You ever play the game of shadows at night? It's that game where you sit outside in a tent. I don't do this anymore, by the way. Sit outside in the tent, and you look outside, and you see the things that are silhouetted by the little bit of light that night's given. And you sit there, and you try to figure out what they are. And maybe you say it's a monster. Maybe you say it's a dinosaur. But then when you shine the light on it, you realize it's just something hanging on the clothesline. Or you sit there, and you realize it's just a tree. See, when you look at things without light, they don't always look so clear. But when you allow the light to shine on it, it becomes obvious what it is. It's funny, that's what light does. It changes our perspective of things. It exposes our issues. We were talking about bug zappers. Maybe we should talk about how cockroaches work. Have you ever seen how a cockroach works? You ever turned on the light and seen one scurry? You do realize, yeah, hopefully not. Not too often. But you understand, cockroaches don't like light. They tend to head for the dark spaces. And if you cut the light on, they go. But if you cut the light off, they come right back. See, that's why this idea of being a light of the world is so important, because we get to go out there and we don't have to preach to people that they got sin. Because guess what? They figure it out all by themselves that I got issues. You go out there and talk to the average person on the street, and there is a person out there that will tell you, I got it all figured out. And if they do, then sit down and talk to them for a little while, and it won't be long before you figure out they don't have anything figured out. All of us have issues. The question is, can you let your light shine in and expose some of those issues, not so that we can condemn them, but so that we can attract them? Because that's what light does. It attracts people. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Isn't this what we have been trying to do? Attract people? Not so that we can put seats in the pews, so we can attract people, so we can teach them. I didn't want to say the other word. I was trying to be nice. So we can put people in the pews. We just want to kind of attract people so that we can try to teach them about Christ. But the first step is we have to attract people. It's the natural ingredient of a Christian. You can't make a Christian without a people. It's impossible. It can't be done. So we have to learn how to attract people, and that is shining our light. And as we shine, things will happen. Things will change. But I want you to see what will happen. And it's not that they're going to say, Barry, you're so great, or David, you're so great, or Sherry, you're so great, or Nancy, you're so great. What they're going to say is, oh my gosh, isn't God so great? Because they figure it out. God's the man behind the curtain. I'm just reflecting the light that's already out there to him. So I bet you're having a question now. Okay, you want me to shine my light? How do I do so? I certainly am glad that you want to know, because we're going to spend about 5 weeks, and I'm going to tell you, I'm literally going to spell it out how you're supposed to shine. You'll have to tune in next week to see what we're talking about. But I'm literally going to spell out how we are to go shine. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you ready to shine? See, because I can put all these cool little sermons together, and we can make pretty logos, and we can change name on the church, and we can do all this stuff. We can have block parties, and we can give away hot dogs. We can do whatever we want. But if we are not ready when those people come to us, if we're not ready to shine, then you know what? We put out a whole lot of energy for nothing. Because guess what? The hot dogs can be given away at a car dealership, and the block parties can be done in the park. And all those other things that we do, they can be done by other people that have more money than us, and they can probably do a better job. But anything that we do needs to connect back to the idea that we are doing it because we want to attract people so that we can shine. And for that, we have to make ourselves ready. We have to put some preparation into what we're doing if I am going to shine. So we're going to spend 5 weeks talking about what it means to be shining, what it means to shine. But I want you to start looking at your life and ask myself, am I ready? Because most of us, self included, I got a little work I got to do. I got to go polish up the reflector in my light. I might have to change a few bulbs. I might have to go get a little more gas for the tank. I don't know what it's going to take, but it's going to need something if I am going to get ready to shine. And I can't do that for you. That's your job. I can only give you the information on how to shine. I cannot make you ready to shine. That's what you need to do in your life. That's what I want you to think about in this coming week. What do I need to do to my life to make it where people can see Jesus 24/7? What would I have to do? What would it take? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't understand what this light is all about. We're going to do a time of decision, and you know what? Come on forward. We'll put you with somebody to sit down and talk about what this light is. What is it that Jesus is offering you? We'll talk about it. We'll turn pages. We'll explain it to you. But if you're here this morning, you've taken that step and you are a Christian, then folks, it is time to do some light maintenance and get it ready to shine. Because that's where we're headed. If we're truly going to be Parkview Christian Church and have a view of our outside world, then guess what? We're going to have to shine a light so the outside world realizes we are here and we have something for you. Would you please stand? We're going to pray and then we're going to sing.